Joining us now is Sean Corcoran, lead reporter for WCAI Radio. He investigated the difficulties of Alzheimer's patients and their families in a series that's airing on our partner station WGBH Radio Boston this week. He joins us from Cape Cod. Sean, good morning to you.
Good morning, John.
And part of that series is Julie Noonan Lawson, who also joins us from Cape Cod. Julie, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Let's just say, before we begin, the conversation on what is the likelihood of Alzheimer's and what is the nature of the disease itself has changed dramatically in the last couple of years, both in terms of statistical tracking of the disease and a major effort by doctors to define what constitutes early stage, mid stage, and late stage Alzheimer's. All of this has helped to inform families as to what they might expect in end of life situations where 1 in 8 people over the age of 65 will get Alzheimer's disease. But in your case, Julie, it's a little more certain than just a 1 in 8 shot. Can you explain in your family?
Well, we have early onset, which means it's before the age of 65, and it's a genetic form of Alzheimer's. So my mother had early onset Alzheimer's, and that meant each one of her children stood a 50% chance of having Alzheimer's themselves. I'm not one of those. I was tested genetically, and I do not have the gene that will cause early onset. I now fall with the rest of the population. The one, what was that number you just gave?
Sure. 1 in 8.
1 in 8.
Yeah.
But your brother was not so lucky.
Correct. Correct. And I've had not just my brother, two sisters that were not so lucky that all died from early onset Alzheimer's disease before the age of 60.
Before the age of 60. Here's the voice of Butch Noonan, who is Julie's brother, poignantly videotaped his situation, talking about his end-of-life care back in 2000. This is from Sean Corcoran's WGBH series. We want to ask him about it in a moment. But listen to the voice of Butch Noonan.
I'd like to be recorded for so people will know that I'm of sound mind about my end-of-life issues because I have early-onset Alzheimer's disease. I don't want to have to be force-fed or tube-fed. If I can't eat, I don't want anybody to feed me because all it is doing is extending the pain longer.
Julie Noonan Lawson, what's it like even today to hear that voice?
Well, it brings tears to my eyes because I miss him, but I'm very proud of him. I'm very proud of what he accomplished in his life, how he went about preparing. And not only am I proud of him, but I'm thankful to him for preparing because my brother John and I were healthcare proxies for him. And his ends-of-life wishes, even though he filmed them, were still challenged by healthcare professionals. And they didn't quite believe that he could actually know what he wanted for the end of his life. But he watched my mom, and he watched her live with the disease for 15 years and curl up in the fetal position. And that was the end of her life because she was fed to the end. And so he knew that his way out of this disease was when he was no longer able to take that spoon and put it to his mouth or even his fingers and put them to the food to his mouth, he would then be able to die. And that was his out, and he knew it. Well, and he was explicit about that.
And you were right there till the end. Julie Noonan Lawson explaining the wishes of her late brother, who died of early onset Alzheimer's disease and made his wishes known in a videotape. Hold on there, Julie, for just a moment. Sean Corcoran, I mean, In many ways, the wishes of an Alzheimer's patient are universal in a sense, in that they want to speak beyond time and beyond even the end of life to make sure people understand that there was a moment that I was with it here. And in fact, most of my life is defined by being cognitively there, and I want my wishes to be respected. That's really the narrative here.
Well, that certainly is one of the narratives, and you know, it's very instructive to look at this family, the Noonan family, and how they approach this disease that they know very well, what it takes away, what it leaves behind, and to look at that video was really helpful, I think. And their advice to have these discussions before there is any diagnosis or any possibility of the disease coming in the next few years. You really need to sit down with your loved ones and talk about what their wishes are. I mean, you don't want to approach your parents and say, where's your will? How much money do you have? But you do want to talk about their legacy. How do they want to be remembered? And that's often a good way to kind of get these conversations going. But once the disease starts to set in, once you start to see symptoms of the disease, those discussions are often fruitless.
I'm wondering, and this is a difficult question, Julie, and your case is a minority, certainly, for having this sort of genetic 50%, you know, near certainty. If that's a blessing, in a sense, to have a level of clarity that maybe a lot of families with this sort of 1 in 8 probability wondering if that's their future don't have.
I'm not quite understanding what you're asking.
Having clarity, is that useful? Do you want to know that sort of thing? Yeah.
It's extreme. Whether you're going to get the disease or not, that's very helpful. But even in the early stage of diagnosis, if you know that you're going to leave this earth with Alzheimer's disease, you won't have a voice. You're going to lose your mind and you won't have a voice. So it is extremely important that you prepare, that you understand that you're going to die from this disease. So while you have a voice, it's not like cancer where you could potentially have a voice. It's different, and you're not going to have your voice. So it's really important to prepare. And it's important not only for yourself and for your own dignity, but for your family members.
Right.
Because countless times my brother John and I went back to that video and watched it and said, this is what he wanted. This is what he asked. And it was a reassurance to us that we were actually representing his voice, not our own wishes, but his wishes.
Julie Noonan Lawson, her family has early onset Alzheimer's disease. Quickly, Sean Corcoran, what's been the takeaway for the community who's been listening to your series on WCAI?
A lot of the series talks about the isolation that surrounds the disease. Sometimes it's the caregiver isolating the patient. Patients want to isolate themselves. It's one of the worst things that can happen. And the Noonans know all about that and how they tried to combat that as well. I mean, Julia's sister went out and told everyone she could think of that she had Alzheimer's so they could support her.
And again, not a choice that everyone would make, but seeing the range of choices is really what this series is about. Sean Corcoran, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
Sean Corcoran is a lead reporter for WCII Radio. He investigated the difficulties of Alzheimer's patients and their families, all the issues that they face in a series for our partner station, WGBH Radio Boston. Thanks so much to both of you.
How would the conversation go with your family?
This is Harvey. I would not want to jeopardize my family's wealth or my own by not knowing what's coming for the future and therefore making the correct decisions on our wealth.
Call us at 8778, My Take. I'm Celeste Headlee.
And I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.